Good evening, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I do pray that you would remember in your prayers that I might be able to present the thoughts that God has given me as he would have me to do. But also, if he desires to give me other words, that he would give me the ability to do that also. I hope you listened real close to the sermon this morning, because as Brother Bruce began, I thought, ooh, I got to go home and prepare another sermon. But actually, he just laid the groundwork for what I want to say to you this evening. I guess I would like to title my sermon tonight, God is my salvation, prayer is my defense. I think Brother Bruce this morning gave us a good sermon on some of the things that are in our near future, the disasters that are pronounced upon the earth, not just the United States, but every nation under heaven comes under those condemnations because they have turned against our God. They have, well, changed his gospel in many ways, and we will try to explain that to you as we go along. But to take some of the things that Brother Bruce said this morning and put them in our time, I would like to turn to 1 Timothy. And the fourth chapter, and starting with the beginning of it. I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving thanks. No, that was the second chapter of the. Sorry. All right. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created that to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and for nothing is to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. In Romans, first chapter, and starting with the 22nd verse. Here, going back a little bit to bring us up to date on what he's speaking of here, Paul is speaking of, well, I said in the 16th verse, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and is written that the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who have hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He is telling us here that because of the marvelous work of God has done in creating the earth. And we have heard that in several sermons here lately, if I remember right, of the magnificent plan of God in creating this earth and mankind and all the creatures here. That, of course, we try to, are people with, supposed to be knowledgeable, try to explain it away by things that just happened by a big bang, they say. But you and I know that God created them, each in their own way, to take their own place, each animal, bird, fish, and us human beings as well. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in things which he has shown unto them. For the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to their affections, for even their women did change their natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their errors, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to their reprobate mind and to those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful of proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but to have the pleasure in them that do them. Paul here is trying to tell us, as he did Timothy, that in the latter times, things are going to be bad. And he said even in his day that they had started to change the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't think he could describe any better than I can, at least, the condition in which we find our society today. Brother Bruce this morning told us about the many contentions and strifes, wars, and the plan of Satan to destroy the work of God. And this is telling us why that happened, why that is happening, because we have forgot our God. He also read in the Book of Mormon, in Ether, the promise that God made when he brought those people here in the first chapter of Ether. But I'd like to refresh our mind just a little bit on that, because that is basically where we stand today. For either the first chapter starting the 29th verse. You know the story, perhaps, I hope you do, that in the days following the Tower of Babel, a family Jared was one of, was asking God to protect them and to keep them from confounding their languages so that they could still work together and to serve him. And perhaps maybe would even give them another land where they could go to. And so he did. The brother Jared seemed to be the one that spoke to God and in prayer. And he went and asked God if he would not provide them with another place to go and then keep their languages together. And also he asked them if they could, if some of their friends could go be with them. And God granted that to him, and they built barges. In fact, they built 8 barges, I believe it was, and they brought everything with them that they needed upon the promised land. But starting the 29th verse, it said, "The Lord would not suffer them that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth into the land of promise, which was choice above all of the lands, which is land God had promised and preserved for a righteous people. And he has sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whosoever should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them." And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land. And this is Moroni's writing, because he transcribed that the place of these people. And so he's put some of his own wording in here. "And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother Jared that whosoever should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of the wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of the wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of the wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is land which is the choice above all other lands, wherefore he doth possess it and shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decrees of God. It's not until the fullness of his wrath and iniquity among the children of men that they are swept off." Now it's quite evident that this land of North and South America is the land he's talking about, because it was found by these same people who came here, and they were swept off because they got into iniquity, but they was here from about 20,000 years before Christ, 2,000 years before Christ, rather, to about 600 years before Christ, when they was actually swept off as a people. And that they were found by Lehi, who came here at that time, or not, it was actually several years after they came here, because it was the time of King Messiah when they were discovered. But it goes on, and this is what Brother Bruce read this morning. "And this comes unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know concerning the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you. Behold, this is the choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who had been manifest by the things which God has written." And God gave Lehi and Nephi and that group the same promise. We know that the people of Jared were swept off, like I said, about somewhere around 600 years before Christ. And the Book of Mormon tells us that God allowed that to happen so that this land would be free from all other things, anything that would cause corruption to come unto Lehi and his people when he brought them 600 years before Christ. At the time of the Jerusalem was taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar. And also he gave Lehi and Nephi, they knew the same promise. And we know what happened to his people. He was told himself, Nephi was, that there would come a time when his people would be destroyed because of unbelief and iniquity. And we know what happened. At about 200 years after Christ, the great destruction came, or between 200 and 400 years they fought. Excuse me. And they were destroyed about 400 years. Except there were a few. There will be, it's prophesied that there would be a few of those of the sons of Joseph, that was Nephi's younger brother, would remain, because out of his seed would come a choice seer unto that people. In 1 Nephi, the third chapter, in the 145th verse, Nephi had a vision and many prophecies given to him. And here in about the 45th verse says, "And it came to pass, I looked and beheld many waters, and they divided the Gentiles from the seed of my brethren. And it came to pass that the angel said unto me, Behold, the wrath of God is upon the seed of my brethren. And I looked and beheld a man among the Gentiles, who was separated from the seed of my brethren by the many waters. And beheld, the Spirit of God came up down abroad upon him, upon the man, and he went forth upon the many waters, even unto the seed of my brethren who were in the promised land." And now that man's name was Christopher Columbus. "And it came to pass that I beheld the Spirit of God that it wrought upon other Gentiles, and they went forth out of the captivity in the many waters. And it came to pass that I beheld that many multitude of the Gentiles upon the land of promise. And I beheld the wrath of God that was upon the seed of my brethren, and they were scattered before the Gentiles and smitten. And I beheld that the Spirit of the Lord was upon the Gentiles, and they would prosper and obtain the land for their inheritance. And I beheld that they were white and exceeding fair and beautiful, like unto my people before they were slain. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles who had gone forth out of captivity did humble themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. And beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters and upon the land, and also to battle against them. And beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon those who were gathered together against them to battle. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles that had gone forth out of captivity were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. It came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land, and I beheld that a book that was carried forth among them. And the angel said unto me, Knowest thou the meaning of the book? And I said to them, I know not. And he said, Behold, it proceeded forth out of the mouth of the Jews, and I, Nephi, beheld it. And he said to me, Take the book which thou beholdest is a record of the Jews, which contained the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also contains the many prophecies of the holy prophets, and is a record like unto the engravings which upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Therefore, they are of great worth unto the Gentiles." And we know that those who came here in the beginning of this great land were coming out of captivity. They came here for a freedom of religion, many of them, Of course, there was those who were brought down here to Jamestown, I believe it was, and that were actually criminals in England, but they were allowed freedom if they would come here and colonize. The strange thing, maybe it's not so strange, a thing that that colony died out from disease and things like that. But that same promise was made unto us, to all those who own this land. And he said that he would preserve the Gentiles upon this land. It's quite evident when you go back and read the history that we did not win the Revolutionary War by manpower. It's quite evident that we won it or was given our freedom because God decreed it so. He brought storms at the proper time to give the Continental Army the upper hand at times, or even allowed them, and sometimes a fog that allowed them to retreat without being noticed. Things like this. And even the surrender of the English Navy was done because a storm held them up to where they could not function. I read one account here just recently where they had an armada of ships and equipment that could just have destroyed everything along our eastern coast during that Revolutionary War. And a storm came up and they couldn't even get out of the harbor. They couldn't use their munitions that they brought with them. So we thank God for giving us this land. But it says that that same promise was unto us. And going to 2 Nephi in the 11th chapter and the 89th verse. And here is talk about the Gentiles, that it came to pass that those who have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles shall be lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, and they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they have put down the power of the miracles of God, and preach unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, and that they may get gain and grind upon the faces of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envies and strifes and malice. And there are also secret combinations, even as in the times of old, according to the combinations of the devil, for he is the foundation of all these things, yea, the foundation of murder and works of darkness. And if we read through the Book of Mormon, we know that there was a group of people called the Gadianton robbers, which were part of this secret combination, and they caused great havoc many times among the Nephites, and caused great destruction. It said, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord, until he bindeth them with a strong cord forever. For behold, I beheld. But my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world, for he loveth the world even as he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. For he commanded none that it should not partake of his salvation. That's the reason I said, my salvation is the Lord. I was reading in the Time magazine just the other day an article celebrating the 4th of July. We have made a great celebration of that time throughout the years, but I feel that we really, for the most part, do really know what we're doing. We're celebrating the 4th of July, but we're not giving God the thanks for it. He brought us here. He brought our forefathers here. In one place it tells us that he would not let anybody come here, that God brought them here because he didn't want anybody here to come here to contaminate the land. But something has happened to it. Even as it did among the house of Israel, Nephi, Lehi and his people, the secret combinations got into it. It got into our land, into our politics, into our world. But in this celebration, it tells about some of the things that Brother Bruce talked about this morning. Things that we see in our society and the things that are written here about the evils and the murders and things like this that happened, like in Texas just a few weeks ago, or about a week ago or so, and it's happening all over the world. But these killings and murders are not something that happens now and then, maybe once a year, but it seems like it's happening daily someplace throughout our great land and also in foreign lands. It mentions, this article mentioned these things, and it mentioned the election that we're facing. And most of the things I read and things I see and things I hear and part of what I know, it's a disaster. It's a plain disaster. Because that's what the people want. They've chosen these things. But this article didn't say, but we are a great nation, we are strong, we are wise, we can do anything. There's nothing we can't accomplish. We're going to get it done. We're going to take care of this. It's going to come out all right. They forgot, or perhaps they probably never knew or don't know what the promises of this land is. But we know. And there is a hope. There is hope. Not in the way we're going. No, that's not our hope. If we would go on to 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter, and the 75th verse. Nephi wrote this, "And now behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that you should suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall also likewise perish, because the words of God ye have been would have been spoken. Ye need to suppose that Gentiles are utterly destroyed. For behold, I say unto you that as many of the Gentiles who will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews who will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenant with none, save it be with them that repent and believe on his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. And now I would prophesy somewhat concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. For if the book which I have spoken shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again," and the book he's written about, if I'd gone back, we're told about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. "The words of the Nephi wrote, and the words are going to be written after him, and also the account of Christ coming to this land should be written in a book and come unto the Gentiles. And after the book which I have written shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many that shall believe in the words which are written, and they shall be carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us how that we came out of Jerusalem, and that they were descendants of the Jews. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared among them, wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was had among their fathers. And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is the blessing unto them from the hand of God. And their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass among them, save they shall be white and delightsome people. It shall come to pass that the Jews which are scattered upon shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin together upon the face of the land. And as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Lord shall commence his work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And with righteousness shall the Lord God judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked shall he destroy, and he shall spare his people, yea, even if it so be by fire. So be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. Righteous and righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And he goes on to tell about the beautiful condition that will come to pass at that time. It also says in the third chapter of Nephi, the third book, that when the Book of Mormon would come forth unto the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would take it back to the house of Israel, then we will know that the time is beginning, that he will carry this gospel back to the house of Israel and bring them into the lands of their inheritances. We know that happened. And we have seen it fulfill before our very eyes, that the gospel has been taken to the house of Israel in Mexico. You know, we tried to carry it to the house of Israel here in our own land. Many of us are, probably most of us are aware that in 1831, Oliver Cowdery came here to this very land that we live on today, right here in Independence. But he also went across the line into Kansas and what is now Johnson County, to the Indian mission over there, to carry the gospel, the Book of Mormon, to them. And they wouldn't hear him. They heard him for a couple of days, and then that was all. They wouldn't have anything more with him. And we have seen in my day various ones here in the United States. There have been one here and one there, a little progress made in carrying this gospel to the ancient inhabitants that we call Indians in this land. But it really didn't take off until we carried the gospel to Mexico, in particular Yucatan, in about 1950. And at this time, it's grown to be more of our members there than we have here in the United States. Has it gone forth to the house of Israel? It has. And I am supposing that the last 10 years or whatever it has been, that we have carried the gospel to Africa and the Philippines, that they too are the house of Israel. We don't have any doubt about the ones in Mexico or Yucatan, but I am supposing that they are of the house of Israel. No, they're not getting up and moving to the Palestine to live there, but they're taking the gospel to heart. I have some of my conversation with some of my brethren, and you know, when I spoke about what God has done for the Gentiles and what he will do for them, he said, but you are a house of Israel by adoption. Yes, I pray that that is true. But the Mormon says, I am a Gentile. Whatever my ancestry is, I am a Gentile. And I come under that promise of God, that if I am faithful, I will be numbered with the house of Israel at that time. We have much to be thankful for. Going on to the third Nephi, in the seventh chapter, third Nephi, second chapter, and 34th verse. And thus commanded the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts with above all other nations and above all people in the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings, deceits, mischiefs, and all manner of hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms and secret abominations, if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I repent of my covenant, remember my covenant which I have made with my people, the house of Israel, and I bring my gospel unto them. And I'll show unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you, but I will remember the covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and you shall come unto the covenant, come into the knowledge of the fullness of the gospel. But the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father. Behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And I will not suffer that my people, who are the house of Israel, to go through among them and tread them down, saith the Father. But if they will not return unto me and hearken unto my voice, I will suffer them that they shall be suffered. I will suffer my people, O house of Israel, they shall go through among them, and shall tread them down, and they shall be as salt as lost its savor, which is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of my people, O house of Israel. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thus saith the Father, commanded me that I should give unto this people this land for their inheritance. And when the works of this prophet Israel shall be fulfilled, which say, the watchman shall lift up his voice, with the voice together shall they sing, and they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth unto his joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. James wrote that the faithful prayer of a righteous man will avail much. And Nephi wrote here in the, I don't know what I'd done with that marker, but I didn't have a pencil to write it down, so I can't turn to it, that we should pray over our families, over the church. Just pray in the church and over the church. We should not cease to pray, but always have a prayer in our hearts. We can go, with going back into the account where I just got through reading there, we're in the 12th chapter of 3rd Nephi, don't, 9th chapter. Well, I'll turn to it to get it right. Yeah, the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi, where the house of Israel will go through here like a lion among sheep. When I read over in before there, it says, if we didn't repent, they would go through. But Christ said, they will go through this land. The house of Israel, who are already here, they're not going to come from somewhere else. They're here. They're going to go through this land like a lion among sheep. And they're going to cut off our cities. They're going to destroy our cars. And you're going to do away with all priestcrafts and whoredoms and murders. But the Gentiles who repent, as was read this morning, there in the 10th chapter, will be numbered with the house of Israel, and they will build a new Jerusalem. As I was preparing my thoughts and for this sermon, I received an email that I'd like to share with you tonight. Prayer is our only defense. When these things happen, whether it's the land of the north, which I believe it is, and at some time it's going to be the land of the north that Brother Bruce spoke about, those Gog and Magog and Gomer and Tomagah and Ethiopia and Libya, they're going to come here. I believe he was right. They're going to come here, the land that dwells without gates or walls, to take a spoil and to take a prey. I don't know the time for all these things, but if we go into the 24th chapter of Matthew and the 21st chapter of Luke, it tells of a time of temptation and trials. And as I read this morning, that we should pray that our plight should not be winter. But Luke also said, when we see these things, the preparation form of wars and rumors of wars, contentions and strife, to lift up our heads and rejoice. Because of war? No. Because our salvation draweth nigh. The time is soon coming, when these things will happen. But this email I received from our sister, Sherry, I don't, maybe many of you got it also, but I am full accord with it. And so I don't just do it any dishonor. I want to read the whole thing to you. Do you believe we can take God at his word? Call upon his name and stand back. God, then stand back, God, back and watch his wonderful wonders unfold. This scripture gives us, as Christians, the ownership of this land and the ability to call upon God to heal it. I challenge you to do that. We have never been so desperate than now for God to heal our land. This election is scariest. is the scariest I remember in my lifetime. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek God my face and turn their way from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive them their sins, and I will heal their land. During World War II, there was an advisor to Churchill who organized a group of people who dropped what they were doing every night at a prescribed hour for 1 minute to collectively pray for the safety of England, its people, and peace. This had an amazing effect as the bombing stopped. There is now a group of people organizing the same thing here in America. The United States of America and our citizens need prayer more than ever. If you would like to participate every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, stop whatever you are doing and spend 1 minute praying for the safety of the United States. Our troops, our citizens, for the peace in the world, the upcoming election, that the Bible will remain the basis for the laws governing our land, and that Christianity will thrive in the U.S. And then he goes ahead to say that if you would like to spreadcast this on to the people, to anyone you might know that want to participate. I also heard another program just a few days ago talking about the responsibility of Christians. We complained about the laws of our land that are not only permitting, but is seemingly even promoting promiscuity. As Brother Nicholas used to say, concubinage, same-sex marriages, and things like this. We complain because the government is making them legal. The spokesman here on this program I talked about said, that is not the responsibility of citizens or the government to bind Christians to their laws. We do not have to permit promiscuity. We do not have to partake of those evils, even though the government makes it right. I would like to recite to you a time when, in Alma's day, when he went to King Messiah and said, I have got these complaints about some of our church people who have gotten into sin, and we want you to judge them. What did Messiah do? He said, I judge them not. They have not sinned against the government or the kingdom or the people. They've sinned against God. That's your job. That's our job. We are to convert the world. We are to convert the nation, not the God-passed laws that they have to do what we say. It's the responsibility of Christians, not only with words, but with actions, personal actions. You know, it's said that sometimes we are the best teachers of the gospel, but if we need to, we can use words. How we live demonstrates to the world what is right and what is wrong. You don't have to tell them. They can see it. They don't do it. They won't do it. And they make fun of us, don't they? I know they did me. They said, you just don't ever have any fun. And I can tell them, and I'll tell you, that nobody ever had any more fun than I do. I have more joy, more fun. Fun that I can appreciate not only today, but tomorrow and next week and next year when I look back on it. I can appreciate and just have great joy in the love of God. And that's what we need to share with the world. No, we cannot depend upon the government to pass laws that will keep what the gospel says. We cannot depend on to do that. And we cannot be so promiscuous to ourselves to say, well, the law says I can do this, but I know what the Bible says, that's not right. That doesn't excuse us. That doesn't excuse us a bit. We can still keep the laws of God in our land. And we need to teach it to our people, to our young ones, that they will grow up to know what God's commandments are, that they'll grow up to know what is right and what is wrong. And if they believe what we show them and what we tell them, praise God. But if they don't, the blood is on their own head. But if I don't do my part, their blood is on my head. And I am fearful that I perhaps have not been as diligent as sharing my faith, perhaps not even showing my faith as I should, to my neighbors, to my fellow workers, to my friends, and to the men on the street. Christ said that he called his people to be the salt of the earth, a light unto the people. And he said not to put it under a bushel, not to hide it. That reminds me of a little story I heard one time, and I suppose it was just a story, but a young man was going off to work in the North Woods in the timber. He had come from a Christian family, and his mother said, "Johnny, when you get there, don't you forget that you're a Christian. Don't you let them lead you away." And he came back home after he was there for about a year, and he said, "Well, Johnny, how did it go?" He said, "They never even suspected I was a Christian." Did he let his light shine? Probably not. He probably didn't enter into some of the things that they was going into, but he didn't give God the credit. I leave these things with you, and I pray, you know, 8 o'clock is kind of an inconvenient time. That's just 30 minutes from now, and most of us will be on the way home. But I'm asking you, if you will, wherever you are, pull over to the side of the road and say a prayer for 1 minute. Not only tonight, but every night at 8 o'clock. Lift up your voice, silent or wherever you are, or vocal if you like, to God for our nation, our land, and our people. That's our only defense. It is written also that God will not allow the wicked to destroy the righteous. He will preserve them. We have that promise. And so I don't despair because I see the iniquity in our land and the things that are coming. Because I know if I have faith in God and am righteous, I will be reserved. But I also know that there's a place in Revelations that said, as the angel was walking by the throne of God, he said, "Who are these underneath the throne?" And he said, "Those are the ones who died in the great tribulation. And they will have to stay there, to put it in my words, until the rest of us are come to our God. Some of us may give our life in that time of tribulation." But as James, not James, Stephen rather, he gave his life for the testimony of God willingly and praised God in doing it. So if that's my lot, I pray that I'll be able to do it. But I think that we have got an opportunity to pray, not just at 1 minute at 8 o'clock, but continually for our nation and for the evils that are here. We're asked to pray for our young men in harm's way. Please do. they're fighting at this time, probably not for the safety of the United States, most of them, but for the opportunity of in foreign lands to have a peace and a knowledge of God. However, many of the places where we are fighting in that kind of a warfare, the gospel is not taking there. It's not allowed there now. I think we have heard just recently that we cannot even go into India anymore. And I presume that's still standing because I haven't heard of them going there without a visa for missionary activity. And you can't get one. They won't allow you in there to take the gospel to them unless that has been changed just recently. But prayer availeth much. God bless you.